you'll indulge me for a second, I would like everyone to close your eyes. Close your eyes and imagine it's a hot day and you're at the pool. You're at the pool with a bunch of your friends and family. You're tired. You've been here swimming around for hours. You notice you're having a more difficult time swimming, but you're doing fine. Everyone around you is laughing and splashing. No one notices you spluttering and gasping for breath. But you've done this before. You don't need help. You're just tired. Now your head is submerging again and again. And each time it does so, the water fills your ears and it's like a wall separating you from the others. You're starting to panic a little now, but you don't want to ask for help. You're too embarrassed, or maybe you don't need it. You know what you need to do, just swim back up to the top. But you're looking around and you're further down now. Your heart is pumping faster and it's like there's a weight on your chest, like someone's sitting on it. You're struggling now and fighting for breath and you need help, but you can't get back up because there's a weight around your ankles dragging you down. You're so far down now, a few feet of water has turned into an immeasurable distance. And as the water is pressing in on you, you know there is nothing anyone can do to help. Go ahead and open your eyes. If you've ever experienced much stress in your life, then you know that it can feel like this or have some sort of similar feeling. Stress makes us panic. Stress makes us illogical, and sometimes stress can make distance between us and God, or between us and other people. Even at the, some would say, relatively young age of 23, I've had my fair share of stress. Some of you may not know this. I know my mom wouldn't like me to share, but a few years ago, my mom lost her job. Now that's stressful. And since then, my mom has found a job as a caregiver with an elderly lady who has Alzheimer's and cerebral palsy. But it's only a matter of time before more care is needed in the form of a facility. So my mom's job is not stable. She's stressed out and I'm stressed out for her. And in the midst of this situation, I have the goal of becoming a firefighter. And it's a goal that reliable sources tell me takes an average of 8 to 10 years. So I feel stress. Now, to become a firefighter, you need like a multitude of experiences that accumulate in like a point system. And you need as many points as possible. That's how you get to an interview. So getting an associate's degree gives you points. Getting a bachelor's degree gives you more points. Working as an EMT gets you points. A paramedic is even more training and even more points. Having a chief put down his name on your resume who is a current or retired within 5 years, that's points. Working in the military, volunteering as a firefighter, working in wildland firefighting as a hand crew, all of these things give you points. And for those of you who don't know, I was just in a serious relationship, and just recently that relationship ended, and that gives me stress. Sometimes I feel guilty for feeling stressed. Sometimes as Christians we fall into this habit of thinking we're immune to the internal struggles other people deal with because God is in our lives. God is in our lives and we know we strive for something greater. Most of the time that's how I live my life. It's my central driving force, but sometimes that's not enough. Sometimes I struggle. Now it's easy to hear scriptures like Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. It's harder to do it though, to be that patient. Sometimes knowing it will all be worth it in the end, that we can have eternal glory in heaven with God is just not enough. We lose focus in the immediate here and now. Teenagers and young adults deal with a lot of stress. Finding a job, dealing with our relationships, moving out or living with our parents, having that final in a few days or the project worth 30% of our grade, and college. There is so much pressure around college. Before college, during college, and after college with debt. And we have to decide the rest of our lives right now. And then I hear things like, it doesn't get easier, it gets harder. You get more stress as you get older. And that doesn't make me feel better. Now let's read together Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. That's Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We need to let go, to relax, and know that everything will work according to God's will. But all the stress and the tension, all that has to go somewhere. We need to stop worrying so much about the little things, about our plans. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. It's scriptures like these that remind me it's okay to be stressed out, like I'm carrying a great weight. These scriptures are in the Bible because we're going to feel that way. And that's not all God offers us. Psalm 94:19 says, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. That's David speaking, and he says, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. I assure you, those words are every bit as reassuring to hear from your brothers and sisters in your home congregation as from David. David writes personal prayers to God about events in his life or how he's feeling, and we draw strength from that. How many others has God placed around us to draw strength from? When we go through the same things that they go through, and they share those personal experiences with us. Please turn with me to Acts 15. I'm going to read from 15:36 through Acts 16:10. That's Acts 15:36 through 16:10. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came into the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So here's Paul and Barnabas traveling around preaching the gospel, and they've got a plan. But we see that plan change. Their paths split and they went different ways. Then Paul recruits Timothy and, being unable to preach in Asia, tried to spread the word in Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus wouldn't let him. Then Paul gets his vision to go to Macedonia, believing it God-inspired. Now, I think it likely that most of us can identify with Paul here. This is a story about a guy with a plan who's been called to do something by God. Now, he's got his own plan on how to do that, but as we know it rarely does, his plan didn't work out. Paul wanted to go into Asia and Bithynia, and as often with us, God had a different plan. How is Paul's story the same as ours? Or maybe a better question is, how is Paul's story different from our story? Paul wanted to travel with the help and friendship of Barnabas, and when that didn't work out, he didn't stumble or say he can't do this without him. This all-important task coming from God, but he carried it. And when he tried to go somewhere and God said no, he didn't say, "Well, I guess I'm lost now, there's no chance," and give up. How often do we feel alone? How often do our plans not go our way? How often do we feel like something is possible and we're not good enough? How often do we feel lost? But Paul does something miraculous. God says, "No, that's not my plan." And Paul says, "Okay, lead me." You can see that through his actions. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make straight your paths." If you're like me and you're not a good swimmer, remember that the water is not as deep as it seems, and the only weight is the weight you put there. There is help, and if you need it, I would encourage you to come forward now as we stand and sing.